Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Kent and Jeff Barrett about their experiences with CPHL. So tell me a little bit about your experiences with CPHL.
CPHL has actually been a great league. I myself have been a player in the league for, this is my 11th year.
When you were 16?
No, actually, I joined when I was 12. And it's been a great experience making a lot of friends, meeting new people, just actually really gaining a lot more confidence in myself.
It's nice for Jeff because he gets to associate with people that have similar problems to his own, and they can do things together and also trade notes on difficulties and that type of thing that they're running into.
So, how did you get involved with the league?
I found out about the league from a friend I went to school with in junior high. And he knew I was interested in hockey at the time, but I had no idea about power hockey. And so he introduced me to the sport, and I've been playing ever since. This was back in 2005 when he told me.
So, is there any modified equipment used in the game?
Yes. Every player has their own limitations and abilities. Some players will attach their stick to their wheelchair. Some players will mount like their control stick differently. There's one player that actually uses his mouth to move his wheelchair, but with his.
He's a quadriplegic. He's amazingly good. He can he plays defense, and if you're coming in on him, he will move his chair backwards.
So, in your time with the league, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Sorry, a what?
A success.
You've had lots.
Well, I'm trying to think here.
Well, the Minnesota tournament.
Every year we create a team called the Calgary Selects, and it's a team full of all-stars from the league that are sent to tournaments. And in 08, we sent a team to Minnesota where we went undefeated and won, and I think that's probably the highlight. I think
Jeff was the goalie.
So, on the converse side of that, are there any challenges with the league itself?
I think the biggest challenge that the league faces is actually getting the league out there, getting people to know about the league. I feel that we struggle a bit trying to recruit players because people don't know about the league. They don't know what it's capable of.
So
a lot of the players are frail. You know, all sorts of different disabilities. The night before last, we were at the hospital visiting two of Jeff's teammates who happened to be both in the hospital. I mean, that's not normal, but that happened.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the league?
It's really just whenever you're out and about, like downtown or somewhere, or even at school, and you run into another person in a wheelchair, and you just mention to them, hey, I don't know if you're interested in this, but we have a wheelchair hockey league. And sometimes that's the best way to do it, because we don't, the league itself doesn't host any sort of events to showcase what the league is about.
You can see footage of play on the website, can't you?
Yeah, we do have. We also have footage on YouTube as well. We have a Twitter page. I think we're starting to get a bigger social media presence now.
So, how does the community typically respond when you tell them about the league?
What do you mean, the community? Like our community?
Yes.
I think everybody's pretty positive about the league. People enjoy that it gives people like me and other people in our league a chance to do something competitive and be a part of something instead of just sitting at home
watching the Flames.
Yeah, it makes us feel like we are our own Flames team and that we are doing something.
For a lot of these players, this is the highlight of their week, and they keep track of their stats, and they compare themselves to other players. You know, it's mostly good, and very important to them.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need for inclusion in sport, what would it be?
Well, I would just say that really anyone is accepted as long as they have fun. I really think that's the big thing. The league doesn't really turn anyone away.
They will subsidize players that are financially ill-equipped. But a lot of the players have AIDS, so there are some costs involved. But overall, it's not that expensive, I think, a venture. The trips to when they play tournaments, for example, the tournament this year is in Philadelphia. So obviously, there's a lot of costs involved with something like that, and not everybody can go. So that's a challenge, but that's in some ways an extra curricular activity for the players.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thanks.
Okay.
One of the key things I loved in that interview, folks, was talked about the sense of community in disability life. About the idea of pooling resources just to bring these good people together to express their talents. Fact is that they would subsidize players who wouldn't necessarily have the resources to participate. And they're doing so just to give an equal opportunity, an equal chance to individuals with disabilities. That's what it's all about, folks. Not putting up unnecessary hurdles. I think we as a society, each one of us, whether we have a disability or not, can learn a great lesson from that. Pooling our resources for our fellow human beings to create opportunities is what it's all about. It's not about saying, I have the most, so I have the most to lose, and I'm going to protect it with my life. It's about building the accessible facility or creating an opening for a person with a disability, keeping an open mind in an interview to allow such a person to enter into a workplace, not to limit the opportunities that are out there. Sharing the wealth may be something of a lost concept in our society today. But it's organizations like the CPHL that are really taking it to heart. They're saying people with disabilities are welcome. They should come out, express their talents, express their skills, and maybe, just maybe, have a good time doing it. Actually participate in an equal sense, in a meaningful sense, in the thing they love to do. Not going out of our way creating something completely one-sided that's all about showing favoritism to a person with a disability. Said it a million times. Equal inclusion, equal opportunity. Person with a disability who wants to go out and participate in this hockey league, they should have every opportunity to do so. And the fact that they're creating a way for this to happen is what it's all about, folks. It's all about bringing together the disability community. It's all about including them, giving them a chance to do what they love to do, whether it be something that draws in the sports crowd or not. If a person with a disability simply wants an equal opportunity to work in a meaningful job, that's also something we as a society should factor in. If they want to be out there scoring the next goal, winning the next game, yes, that should be encouraged. But no matter what it is, equality should be encouraged in every facet of life. Truth is, you can't start setting standards for what should be encouraged and what shouldn't in terms of a person's abilities. Fact is, you create an impossible standard by so doing. But overall, I'm very pleased to see that this organization is taking the time and the care to say, we value your contribution enough to make it happen. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated.
Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy, I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart, no way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body, go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Kent and Jeff Barrett, who were telling us a little bit about their experience with CPHL. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Megan Walton, will be giving us a little more detail about the University of Windsor's upcoming Accessibility Awareness Day. So the last time you were here, you and Stephanie Craig told us a little bit about the upcoming Accessibility Awareness Day. Can you sort of give us a recap?
We're having an Accessibility Awareness Day in the CAW in the Ambassador Auditorium on March 10th. We're having Fiona Kareen, ombudsman for, she was for Toronto, but now she's for Hydro One. She's the first ombudsman for Hydro One, which is really exciting, and she's going to have lots to talk about. She's our keynote. And then we have a variety of other sessions and presentations throughout the day, from mental health to disability in your life and disability and employment and hiring, and it's a great day, and it's going to cover many topics on accessibility.
So can you tell me a little bit about what your role has been in getting things ready for the day?
I'm Accessibility Awareness Day Coordinator. So I work for the Office of Human Rights, Equity, and Accessibility, and I've just been coordinating with my manager, Ian Mullen, the whole workings of the day, from the presentations to the timing and the food, just all the little pieces we've worked together to figure out for a great day.
So, how did you become involved with the project?
I have always really been passionate about special needs and accessibility, and when I saw this job come up, I went to meet Anne, and I just loved the atmosphere of the office and the project that they were working on, and this is now my second year in this role.
So for this year's Accessibility Awareness Day, how's the prep going so far?
Really well. We're coming up towards the end. The event is very soon. We have reached the goals that we wanted to reach. We have some fantastic presentations that are going to happen. We had more presenters apply, not quite apply, but present their presentations than we actually had space for this year. So it was some really tough decisions that were made, but we're really excited about them. We have over 100 people already registered to attend, and they are all receiving lunches. We have some fantastic sponsorship that are supporting us in this day, and it's just all going really smoothly so far, so I'm hoping it will continue that way.
So, on a personal note, how do you feel about being involved with the day itself?
I feel really proud of the day. I actually didn't know that it happened in the years before that I joined the project, and since I have joined on, I fully support it. It's such a fantastic day, and it's a bunch of people from a community that just want to support everyone and have everyone equal access to the opportunities that we take for granted. I think it's a fantastic initiative, and the people that attend year after year seem to think so as well.
That kind of segues into my next question. For this year, have you seen a lot of community support?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of returning attendees, to the point where before I had launched the registration page, we were getting asked when is registration being put up by people who have come in previous years and really support and wait for Accessibility Awareness Day at the University of Windsor. And they have all registered again this year, and we're all really excited to celebrate and bring awareness to accessibility again together at the University of Windsor.
So, in terms of the topics discussed at the day, does the university really take it to heart? Do they see these matters and continue to go forward based on what's being developed on Accessibility Awareness Day?
Well, Accessibility Awareness Day is put on by the Office of Human Rights, Equity, and Accessibility, and through that office, particularly through my manager, there are a variety of committees and programs and initiatives that are happening because we are more and more aware of what accessibility means on campus and how we can achieve accessibility on campus. Not me personally, but our office, I know, works really hard on creating accessibility and new initiatives all the time and new projects.
So, in this way, have any other departments shown a particular interest in Accessibility Awareness Day?
I think a lot of departments do. I personally am at the University for Disability Studies, and it was very aware to me, obvious to me when I was in high school looking at programs, that the University of Windsor was one of the only undergraduate programs that encouraged and taught about disability and advocacy. And just the fact that the university has its own disability studies degree is, I think, really fantastic. I know last year we had some great involvement from the HK department. We had one of our presentations with multiple staff members from the HK and the St. Denis Center come, and they did a fantastic presentation. I could continue, but I'm certain that most of, if not all, the departments in the university are really on board with accessibility in the buildings that we're creating and the programs that we're providing.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need for accessibility awareness, what would you say?
I would just hope that people recognize that having an accessible environment is so important, and that I honestly don't see why we wouldn't do it. Why, I just think it's a way to be kind to each other and do life together, because the life that I lead would have missing pieces if there are people who couldn't join me in these programs and these activities that I personally lead. So I think that we should all just have these opportunities and just be kind and share with each other.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. One of the key points Megan touched upon during the interview was that when you start to work in the lives of individuals with disabilities, you get this sense of meaning. You get a refreshed sense of purpose, knowing you're building into the lives of your fellow human beings. Fact is, it really does take hold of you in many cases. You start to see that society can do better. And by creating a public forum, by creating an opportunity for these individuals to get up there, share their stories, you start to see that a lot of the myths and the preconceptions just don't hold water. You start to see these are strong, intelligent, capable people. And once you have that understanding, it sticks with you. Putting a human face to a story goes well beyond just a statistic. They go from being how we think disability might affect a person, what we think accessibility should be, to a real-life, concrete story someone who has lived with their condition, adapted to it, and maybe even come up with some innovative solutions. And if you see it as a human story and not some cold statistic somewhere, you get to understand these are real people, real lives, hopes, dreams, ambitions. And creating a public forum is one of the best things you can possibly do. It's a gift, not only to the disabilities community, but for the able-bodied community. Because you can say easily, anybody can, that I embrace diversity, that I accept equality. But when it comes time to play the cards, you gotta ask the question, have I really lived up to these ideals? Have I really been there for someone with a disability? Or have I gotten to know anyone's story along these lines? And it's events like this that are building these bridges, are taking away the fear and hesitation that might exist for getting involved in somebody's life. If you have no contact with someone with a disability, you start to think, oh, I might injure them, or oh, they can't do this or that. But if you sit down with them, share their story, just get to know them as a person, you find those myths get smaller and smaller till finally they're just out of sight. And that's how it should be. Understand a thing before you jump to any conclusions. Know a person. Know how they respond to their condition. It may match the medical model, it may not. But accessibility is all about doing as much as you can. It's not a one-size-fits-all deal. You can't just throw in some ramps and some braille and say, yay, ain't we great. No. It's a matter of asking people what they need and taking steps to see what can be created. You do that, you come up with a practical plan, and ways of sharing information, like Accessibility Awareness Day. Progress can and will be made. There is a long-term plan to make everything fully accessible by 2025, work of the AODA. It's a great plan, but I maintain it comes down to an individual level to make it work at all. It comes down to everyone being willing to ask the questions. Is this building truly accessible? Are there really opportunities for people with disabilities to find transportation to work? Is there accessible housing? If you take grassroots steps, little by little, you'll find by the time the plan is set to be complete that everything will be done. Another key aspect, of course, is monitoring. Scientific and the journalistic method would agree that if you don't have enough information, get more. Ask people what they really need. Provide for opportunities like AAD. Provide a forum, not just to share in stories. Anybody can watch a news report and really get an idea of what a person might be capable of. But make it public. Make it open and welcoming to the able-bodied community. Make it clear that you can ask questions and that person with a disability isn't going to fly off the handle if you ask them something about their condition. Make it fully accessible in the sense that anyone can profit and learn from these forums, from these events. It's all about enlightenment. And many people with disabilities are eager to share stories about their condition. To say to the able-bodied community, yeah, this is quote-unquote, a limitation. But this is what I have done to adapt to it. These are the devices I use. This is the methodology I use. And then you start getting a concrete sense of what's practical and what progress can really be made. I would encourage our leaders in society to attend events like AAD, to come out, actually learn something about what accessibility really is. It's easy to sit behind a desk and to say, I have all the answers. I have this report and that report. But have you gone out? Have you talked to anyone with a disability? Have you asked them that question? That is where it all begins, folks. I love the idea that the university is creating an open forum, that they're bringing together not just one aspect of disability life, but many types to paint as broad a picture as they possibly can. Because disability does not just mean one thing. It is a very broad, very encompassing lexicon. And we're constantly expanding not only in our definition of this, but our understanding of this. Things such as what Megan mentioned about having a speaker on mental illness. That's key. There's a lot of myths, a lot of stereotypes surrounding that, which frankly, I just don't understand. Fact is, it's a medical condition. It's no different than having a vision impairment or hearing impairment, in so much as it just makes somebody function a little differently in society. You wouldn't say to a blind person, I'm going to treat you differently based on something that there is no possible way you could help. You would look at it, you would say, I'm going to create what opportunities I can, and I'm going to be there as best I can. That's how it should be with all types of disabilities. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.